Hi and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Up in here.
Up in here. Day after, well, weekend after Hurricane Milton rolled through Florida.
But yeah, so for us right now, it is Thursday morning. So I've been on storm watch, just checking the news all night.
Same, girl. Same.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, thankfully, most people got out of there. I mean, still, obviously, there's devastating damage. Did you see the damn people with the alligator in their house?
Yes. Holy moly guacamole. What would you do?
I know it could be worse, but I can't think of much.
I don't know. I think maybe a skunk would be worse.
No, an alligator is fucking worse. A skunk is not going to eat you. It's just going to stink it.
Yeah, but I feel like you could, you know, shoo an alligator out of there. I held one of those in Florida, those alligators. You know, I feel like I'm an alligator whisperer now.
Oh, you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wouldn't take your chances.
No, I'm not taking my chances. No, I'm not.
You know, I've been having a lot of unwanted guests too. I'm not really sure how to handle it.
Mosquitoes?
No.
Oh.
Door-to-door salespeople. When did that come back into fashion? People stopped going door-to-door.
Put that no soliciting sign outside your door.
Do you think that works? And then am I like that bitch if I'm like, check the sign?
Yeah, you are. But I think you are that bitch anyways. So like, just
well,
do
it. Well, I am. Like, it is so frustrating. You know, I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'm a creator. I'm fucking writing shit. I'm like...
You're in the zone and then you get the doorbell.
Yeah, and I already am like, squirrel, look at that ad on Amazon. It's Prime Day, blah, 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 blah. Don't I need 10 things? And then somebody knocks on the door and I'm like, ah, shit.
Do you feel like Prime Day is like every day now? I thought that it was like once a year, but I swear it's like every month now or something.
I think it is
a Prime Day.
Prime Day for bullshit. Yeah.
All day today.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, no, Prime Day should just be like, you buy stuff at the regular price and whatever the difference between the sale price and the regular price is, like, we're donating to the Red Cross
right now. 100%. Yeah. They should fully do that.
Amazon, you could take that idea. I think that would be lovely.
You should call them and get a...
I can't even tell people to bounce from my door.
Yard. Oh my gosh. You actually are probably the one that like doesn't say no and gets your trees trimmed like 5 times a year instead of
Well,
once.
I hope that I just they all have this practice of they walk, because I have like kind of a long walkway. So they walk up the walk, and then I do appreciate this, they walk back. So they're not just standing there. Because if you're just standing right in front of my door, the hell no. I am not going to open it.
By the way, they're trained to do that so that you don't feel like intimidated. But the other thing
Then you know what I do? Then I feel bad that they're standing back there. So I'm like, come on, I'm not afraid of you. And I like wave them in.
You're going to get punched, lady. Oh my God, you guys, seriously.
And then I have to break their heart and be like, no, I don't need solar panels or my gutters, you know, cleaned or whatever.
Whatever.
Shit.
You would say yes if they said something about your Halloween decorations. I just know it.
Well,
or if they wanted to watch your Taylor Swift video.
Yeah, maybe. I had to say no to this guy who was selling like farm fresh produce.
Oh, yeah, I've had that.
He was like, we will bring you produce every week. And he's like, have you ever had a fresh tomato? I'm like,
backyard.
This is Southern California. Who hasn't?
I know.
They are good.
That is the nice thing about California. That is one thing I do miss, is those oranges that are just like on everybody's tree in the backyard. You're like, yes, please give me that.
Listen, I already shop at a farm. So I'm like, I'm really sorry.
I know.
I'm loyal.
Okay.
To the Ecology Center.
Well, that's nice.
I know.
Good on
but
you.
It's really getting me down.
Well, put the sign up. Okay. Well, Gretchen's getting a sign. Who's sending it to her?
Okay. Somebody send me suggestions for like cute signs, because I don't want anything ugly. And I don't want anything too offensive. Like, I don't want anything that says no soliciting all in capitals.
Or it says, my beware. I've seen that. You don't have to beware of my dog because I have a gun or something. I've seen something like
that. Oh, yeah. That flies in Texas, not in California.
No way. No. I don't think that flies anywhere, really. It's just kind of a funny sign. I actually have not seen that sign in Texas. I only saw it in California. Mm. But anyways, okay. Are we ready for...
We are ready.
This week's crime. I am coming to you from one of our friend states. This is what I remember, actually. I'm going to jog your memory. The reason we knew about this case so much was because of our friend in Huntsville.
Stacy from Alabama.
Stacy from Alabama.
Girl, it's been too long.
I know. I don't even know if she listens to us anymore. But I'm going to send her
a shame.
I know. Okay. So we're going to Florence, Alabama. It is in the northern part of Alabama near Tennessee border and home to around 42,000 Alabamians or Alabamians. I don't really know how they say
it. I'll bet they say Bammers.
Bammers. I like that. It's better than a boomer, a Bammer. The median home price is $200,000 and people make around 26 grand per person, which is not that.
That's not
much.
A lot of money.
No. So along the banks of the Tennessee River, you can find Florence Indian Mound and Museum, which I feel like you would like to go to.
I would.
It's got like stuff that dates back to like 500 AD, dude. Like way back.
Very old.
Also, the birthplace of Helen Keller is located just a few miles south of Florence, which I find very fascinating. She is a very fascinating human.
She is. Did you read the book growing up?
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
I did do that. Also, for me, when I think of Florence, it reminds me of Italy and love. And this story, although twisted.
Nick Davids. No.
What is it? What'd you say?
Nick Davids. That's where the Florence
Oh my God. Of course you would think of Nick Davids. yes. Lots of statues with...
They're naked.
Naked.
I've been there.
Okay. Well, I have not been to Florence, but I would like to go one day. So this story is a bit of a love story. Twisted. Think Bonnie and Clyde, Romeo and Juliet, but totally different. It didn't all start this day, but let's just say this may have been the beginning to the end. On December 1st, 2015, Casey White, a 32-year-old, 6'9", 300-pound guy, went to his ex-girlfriend Carrie Tyler's house on Smith Road in Limestone County, Alabama. When he got there, he pulled out two handguns, a .380 and a .40 caliber, and pointed them at Carrie before she was able to escape to her neighbor's house. White, Casey White, started firing shots as his ex-girlfriend started running. White went inside and held the gun to the neighbor's heads also. They were two guys. These two men were able to jump out of a window and escape. Apparently, Carrie's two children were in the basement and thankfully unharmed. But White just continuously fired his gun and ran through the house. Carrie's pet dog, unfortunately, was killed in the rampage, but no one else was hurt. After he shot up the house, White ran away on foot, only to go to a nearby house where he held up a man at gunpoint and demanded money. The man told him, "I don't have any money," which... Dude, if anybody came here, I'd be like, I have some like change in my change drawer. Okay, that's it. Then he said, "Give me your keys." And of course, the man handed over his keys and Casey White left in the man's Ford 2007 Explorer. 30 minutes later, Casey stopped at a Tennessee Welcome Center on I-65 and tried to carjack a semi-truck by jumping in the cab with his two guns and telling the driver, "You're going to drive me." Well, the truck driver was like, "F that, I'm not driving your ass anywhere," and barricaded himself in the sleeper cabin of the truck. So Casey, you know, gave up on that, went to a car across the parking lot with a couple that was sitting in it. When the wife refused to open the door, Casey started shooting through the back window and actually hit the lady in the shoulder. Thankfully, only causing minor injury, but holy shit, dude. After that, he gave up and fled the scene in that first car that he hijacked back in Limestone County, that Explorer. While on the escape, he then decided to carjack another car, a white 2012 Lincoln MKZ, at a gas station. And this is kind of a funny thing. Like the victim of this carjacking left his phone in the car and he was like yelling like, my phone, my phone. And Casey decided to back up and throw his phone out the car for him.
Well, that makes sense. Give the man back his phone, but kill the fucking dog.
I mean, he's a lunatic.
I never get the killing the dog.
I don't get killing anything.
I don't get killing anything, but when it is like, and then they killed the dog. I don't, that's just, it's just a trigger.
It's a trigger to many. So I'll probably already get something in the email about, you know, you didn't tell me it was about killing the dog. So by this point, obviously the police are well aware of Casey White's wild night and they were on his tail. Police caught up to this outstanding citizen in the car chase with White going over 100 miles an hour until he wrecked his car near a trailer park in Huntsville, Browns Ferry Road.
Stop it.
I'm assuming it's close, but it's called Huntsville Browns Ferry Road. Something around there.
Where does Stacy live? It's Huntsville. Huntsville. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Once the chase ended, White jumped out of the car and held two guns to his own head. He then told the deputies that he was going to shoot them and then shoot himself if Sheriff Mike Blakey didn't come to talk to him. Apparently, White was very familiar with the sheriff because he had been in and out of jail about 11 times in the past 10 years for various offenses. The most recent time, just a week prior. So the sheriff comes out there and he talks Casey off the ledge by basically giving him a requested soda pop called Sundrop. Done. Give him
a
soda.
Okay. Yeah. I am familiar and I'm real curious about these Sundrops.
They must be real good.
I mean, is it like Cactus Cooler?
Oh, squirt? I was thinking it's probably like Cactus Cooler. Okay. Or what if it's like a Fresca? That is like hands down the best.
The best.
I freaking think they're the best.
I mean, they're good because they don't have sugar.
And then you mix them with vodka and it turns delicious, into a really nice cocktail.
But I feel like Casey is not calorie conscious like us. And so he's more of a full sugar squirt guy.
Yes. So Sundrop probably is full sugar. It's probably.
I also think maybe this sheriff is like, he must be a real nice guy.
I think he's a real nice guy.
If Casey wanted to talk to him.
Yeah.
Must have shown him some decency.
I think actually the jail that Casey went to and the one we're going to talk about, I think a lot of the prison guards show a lot of decency there. So I kind of like that part of this story.
Well, it sounds like they showed him a little indecency.
Maybe a little too much. Yeah. I mean, give or take.
How about, as long as we're talking about indecency, you know what? I just can't, you know, it's like a thing I got to scratch in my brain. I was thinking Casey, I forgot he is 6'9".
Yeah. He's a massive human.
He could have posed for a David in Florence.
Oh my God. Too many things are running through my head. I can't even. Okay.
I think it might've been more accurate. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Maybe. Okay. So when Casey was taken into the hole, as they call it, he wanted to make it clear to the sheriff that his only regret was that he didn't go through his plan to kill his ex-girlfriend, Carrie, and have the police kill him through suicide by cop. He doubled
down.
That's
his only regret, not killing the dog. Again, Casey, never going to forgive you for that.
No, this guy's unforgivable. Come on.
Yeah.
He doubled down on killing Carrie by saying that he would still do it if he ever got out, which I think is real, real scary. And side note, I am real glad, Carrie, that you got away from this guy. Like, real glad.
Yeah.
So at this point, he is charged with two counts of first degree burglary, robbery, theft by Limestone County Sheriff's Department. And then he was also facing extradition to Tennessee, where he would be facing charges of attempted first degree murder, two accounts of attempted carjacking, theft over $10,000. And for this, his bail is set at like something he can't afford. Okay. Mm-hmm. So while he awaited trial, he was incarcerated at the Limestone County Jail. During this time, this extremely violent man was able to achieve trustee status, which means he was allowed to move around the jail pretty freely with like little supervision, have jobs, wash vehicles, you know, like kind of be part of the jail community instead of just like sitting in a cell.
Yeah. I mean, that is, I think he must have been very trustworthy. because I think there's one thing to trust a normal inmate, but a 6'9" inmate to be,
I know,
that's a lot.
That's a lot. I think he is maybe a master manipulator. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk about his mental status because when he was a child, he was diagnosed bipolar and schizophrenic. He used that to his advantage. And after there has been other people that have kind of evaluated him and thought differently that maybe Casey doesn't have these disorders, but I'm not a doctor, so I do not know.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So it would take more than 3 years, but in April of 2009, White finally received his verdict and sentencing for his one-night crime spree. It only took 3 days for the entire trial and 3 hours for the jury to reach a verdict, which I can probably see why. He was guilty on 9 of the charges, including attempted murder to his ex-girlfriend, and the sentence was to be served concurrently. But the bottom line is he was getting 75 years. So okay. The Limestone County District Attorney, Brian Jones, said of the sentencing, "We hope this makes it very clear that Limestone County is not going to tolerate this kind of behavior," which, I mean, I hope not. Limestone County.
What county is tolerating that kind of behavior with the carjacking and the killing of dogs?
I mean,
I don't think any county says, please,
please
welcome.
Terrorize everything.
What the shit?
Yeah. The DA added, "Every person in Limestone County who has a child of dating age should sleep better tonight, knowing that someone like Casey White, who could be stalking and threatening to kill them, it has now been convicted." Well, thank you so much, Limestone County. And he was now sent to prison instead of county jail. Well, we are going to fast forward from 2019 to Tuesday, September 1st, 2020. White wrote a letter to Lauderdale County Sheriff Lieutenant. And in this letter, he confessed to murdering a woman in Rogersville in 2015.
Ooh, I did not know that.
Yes, this woman's name was Connie Ridgway. She had been found stabbed in her apartment in 2015, October of 2015. And according to the sheriff lieutenant, when he went to visit Casey White, he gave a confession that included information that had never been released to the public. So that's kind of when they know, they're like, okay, you know a little bit more than anybody else knows. And so they kind of took him for his word. He also said that he had been paid to kill Connie Ridgway. It was like a murder for hire. With that confession, White, who was now 37, was moved from the Donaldson State Prison, where he'd been serving his, you know, 75-year sentence, back to the county jail.
Why was he confessing to that? Was he just trying to use that as like a negotiation tool or something?
I think he wanted to go back to county jail instead of being in prison.
Okay. So he was using it for the means to something. Because
right.
A fucking dog killer does not seem like the kind of person that just has the heart to just confess.
Confess. Right. We'll get more into that in a little bit. At Lauderdale County Jail, a 54-year-old corrections officer named Vicky White, no relation to Casey White, was the assistant director of corrections for the jail, where she basically oversaw everything, day-to-day operations. I mean, she was, you know, the go-to lady. And in 2020, she had been there at the jail for over 15 years, which, you know, 15 years goes by fast, but man, it probably doesn't go by fast in that jail.
Listen, my aunt, who perhaps will come on our Patreon or something, was a nurse at the jail for 15 years.
Oh,
I tell you, so 15 years gives you a Rolodex of jail stories.
Her and Vicky probably have a lot in common and
if
a lot to share.
If we do have her on, we'll have to ask her.
Oh,
if she ever knew a Vicky type.
Oh, I would love to know.
By the way, my aunt calls it wiggling.
What?
Doing it.
Doing it?
Yeah.
Like in the jail?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's got to happen more than we know.
Yeah.
So some of Vicky's duties included listening to the inmates' telephone calls, reviewing surveillance videos to identify inmates and correctional officers who were breaking the law. Vicky was really loved by all the inmates in jail. She seemed to really have like a care for them. Some called her Mama Vicky, Grandma Vicky. She had a very kind heart with them and she treated them like people. Vicky was not only loved by the inmates, but also with her coworkers. She had one of those like no bullshit kind of attitude with a side of love and an understanding for everybody. She was a ball buster when she needed to be. And by every account, she was the biggest rule follower.
Listen, all my favorite bosses have been like that. Like they're a hard ass and you kind of have to earn their respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they look after you.
Yeah.
You know, they take care of you.
Yes. I think those kind of people are the best people and they are the best bosses, right? Mm-hmm. Vicky's job was really her life. She had been married once. But that marriage ended in divorce because her husband decided to dabble into drugs. And like I said, Vicky's a rule follower and she was not about it. Vicky did find love again, but once they were going to get married, her fiance died in a car accident. And so after that, she kind of just really dedicated herself to work and spending time with her family. Her mom lived just down the road from her. In 2020, the year of the pandemic, if you have forgotten, the state of Alabama bought iPads for all their inmates through a grant from the federal government.
Okay.
I bet you all are real happy that that's where your tax dollars are going. But
I mean, I feel like I don't want to judge, but did it have to be an iPad? Why not like a fucking Kindle or something?
No, because the premise was that it would give these inmates access to FaceTime and
phone
calls.
You could do that
on
a Kindle. You don't need a fancy iPad tablet. There are less expensive tablets. Yes. Mm-hmm. With cameras. Yes.
Well, dude, I like the Kindle idea so they could read on it, but I mean, I don't know. FaceTime and phone calls to contact their loved ones during lockdown. It sounds pretty bougie to me. I mean, I was like, our kids didn't even get an iPad for their Zoom school. We had to figure out like how to do three kids on Zoom. You know, we only had one iPad. All right. Anyways, off my soapbox. As Casey White waited for his new trial for the murder of Connie Ridgway, he spent a lot of time making and receiving calls on his iPad. He would also receive a lot of correspondence in the form of legal mail. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're saying.
Well, I'm going to tell you, maybe it wasn't legal mail.
Oh.
Maybe it was illegal mail.
Oh, like drugs?
Like love letters from maybe somebody that was delivering them.
Mail. Okay.
You know, uh-huh. I don't think that's really legal. So Vicky would push the cart to these cells and hand people their mail through a little slot. And then the inmates could hand mail back to her. All of these envelopes needed to be addressed and provided with stamps from their commissary. Well, Casey White's inmates noticed that Casey got a lot of mail and he bought some lovey-dovey cards on the commission on his commissary. But when he handed them to Vicky, they were addressed to his mother. But sometimes those envelopes didn't even have postage on them. Weird. Mm-hmm. One cellmate said that he had noticed some other odd occurrences, like when they would go out to the yard to get some fresh air and exercise, sometimes Casey wouldn't actually make it to the yard. Vicky would give some reason, like his attorney was waiting for him to talk or something to that effect. Plus, Casey really received a lot of snacks when Vicky was pushing that cart around.
Mm-hmm. So they were poking in the pokey.
Another oddity was that Vicky was always the one that would take Casey to his appointments at the courthouse. Now, a 15-year-old veteran corrections officer probably knows how to handle themselves around inmates, but remember that Casey is 6'9 and Vicky was 5'1. She was 5'1 with like a little waddle.
Ouch.
She had this like very distinct waddle, by the way, when she walked. What no one really knew was that Vicky had fallen in love with this felon. The lady that 100% knew better, the one that I'm sure was hit on more than once, somehow fell for Casey White, of all people. In the Netflix documentary, they claimed it was after a like nice butt comment. Do you remember that part in the documentary?
Yes.
But no one really knows what sparked the true fire for what, you know.
I do.
What?
I don't think David. David, I'm sure, didn't hurt. Although she's only 5'1", he's 6'9". Sounds like it would hurt.
Painful.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you because I watched the Love After Lockup show. She has been hurt so many times. She's hurt by the first husband doing drugs. She's hurt by the second one doing deadness after the car accident. And she's like, I just like this one because he's just like She can control them. She can see them. That's what these, that's what the psychosis of these women is they're always there for them when they need them. They can always get in touch with them and they get to control everything.
Until they get out.
Until they get out, and then it doesn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So they actually found that Vicky had communicated to Casey before his stay. And you remember how he went back and forth into jail? Like, really? She did. Yeah. But not that much, but like enough.
That's wildly inappropriate, Vicky.
It's wildly inappropriate. I know. It's like, it's so crazy because on this podcast that I'll talk about in a second, you hear her friends. They all sat down for an hour long interview about her, and just, you hear from them about how she did not let out to anybody, her mother, no one, that she was doing this. And they just, it's unfathomable, but she kept,
because she probably had a lot of normal people. When you got a bunch of like shady friends, you'd be like, I'm banging someone. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But if your friends are on the up and up, you're not telling anybody because you know they're going to judge you.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, 100%. She could never tell any of these girls. They would be like, what in the Sam fuck are you doing?
Every time I tell you something I did like 20 years ago, you're like, oh, I'm like, oh God, how did I let that slip?
It's so true. So in the beginning of 2022, Casey was, you know, in that jail for 2 years now. He was getting ready for his trial for this Connie Ridgway case. And Vicky, well, she was setting to retire. No one really knew that because on April 28th, 2022, Vicky suddenly put in her retirement paperwork. It was totally unexpected. No warning to the sheriff's department ahead of time. And it was real shocking. Even more shocking was that she put it in that her retirement date was for the very next day, April 29th, 2022. Her coworkers kind of were like, something's up with her. She auctioned off her home real quick. She's been complaining about work. She's been real edgy lately. But after 17 years, they were like, girlfriend needs a break, right?
Yeah.
So on February 29th, this is Vicky's last day of work. The jail was super shorthanded. They normally had 11 deputies on shift, but that day they only had 5 due to, I guess, the jail's leadership was gone to the police academy graduation. They had
graduation priority.
Priorities.
Nobody needs to mind the inmates.
No.
I think
they had
a lot
of court transfers to do that day, and where they were going to like shuttle, you know, lots of inmates back and forth and, you know, some to some appointments. And once the word got out that Vicky was going to retire, a couple of her office mates threw her a quick party, got her a cake, some flowers to wish her well. Vicky gave one of her coworkers, Renee, like her brass, they call it, you know.
What is that?
I think it's like her like badge.
It was never give that shit up.
I know, right? I wouldn't either. But you see why she needed to do that. It was Vicky's last day, but she was still doing her job that day. So when Casey White was on the list to go to the courthouse for a mental health evaluation, well, Vicky said, I'll take him. Vicky took Casey out of his cell and escorted him to the booking room where he was prepped for transfer with like a belly chain, handcuffs, leg irons, all that stuff. And then the two left the jail in a sheriff's patrol car. Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for
for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Pay client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns investing. Involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Lady listeners, are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you are, you are most definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormonal disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. They are in our food, water, the air we breathe. They are all up in our business, messing with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through, perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier through these changes. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. I've been taking Hormone Harmony for months and will keep on keeping on because it just makes life easier. I feel less stress, less bloat. And just even, I feel more like myself. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
When time went on, Casey White was still out of his cell. They started questioning, where the heck is Casey? So they sent some deputies down to the courthouse where they searched it top to bottom, looking for Casey White and Vicky White. No relation, right? And they had absolutely zero luck. They were not at the courthouse and it was 5 o'clock. So immediately they send a be on the lookout for a missing deputy and prisoner who was considered armed and dangerous. The BOLO was broadcasted to all law enforcement agencies in the area, which included the U.S. Marshals in Birmingham, which was just about 2 hours away. The Marshals immediately reached out to Lauderdale Sheriff's Office and offered their help, which thankfully, listen, they were like, yes, please.
You know, next time we have a law enforcement officer, I would like to know, like, how often does a BOLO come your way?
It cannot be that often. Because a BOLO is like an officer that's been like...
No, it's always be on the lookout for two. We've done a million of them where it's two people are off in a Jetta. You know?
The Marshals on this case were actually interviewed on a podcast called Chasing Evil. It's a 5-part series. I suggest y'all listen to it. It's them, except for the last episode. It's those ladies that I was talking about, but the Marshals go play by play of what happened in this, like even into more detail than I'm going into. So like you want to hear it all from the horse's mouth, this is where you can go. But I really appreciated that they did that. And I feel like sometimes they don't want to like tell the whole story, you know, but they freaking told the whole story.
It's the beauty of podcasts.
So the fact that a single female officer transporting a criminal with Casey White's rap sheet was pretty mind blowing to these marshals, right? It's like, she's 5'1". He is a real bad dude. There would most likely be two officers moving someone like that. According to the Marshals, it's a national policy actually that they need two officers. Vicky is not she's a correctional officer. She's not like a police officer,
like a deputy.
Yeah. So
yeah,
she should. Yeah,
I thought that was odd too. But
him.
Then what I got from the Love on the Run thing on Netflix was that, you know, nobody messed with Vicky. She was like HBIC. She was, if there was gonna be a single person doing it, it was gonna be her.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see like the, you can kind of understand why, right? Because also these inmates had respect for her. So and I can imagine
she exuded authority.
She did. She did. Their immediate concern was that they had a missing and possibly endangered correctional officer. So they issued a blue alert. Blue alerts are like amber alerts, but this is the one that I was saying it's has to do with a law enforcement officer.
Yeah.
As marshals were driving over from Birmingham, they received word that the missing patrol car that Vicky had transported Casey in was located in the parking lot of Academy of Sports store. The store was about 10 minutes east of where the jail was located, and this location was actually a spot that Vicky had her coworker friend pick her up just the day before. Her friend actually said on this podcast that she was like, Vicky called her up and was like, hey, I'm at Academy of Sports and something happened with my Uber or some, like, she gave her some excuse that she needed to go pick her up there. And this lady was like, okay, yeah, no problem. I'll pick you up. It's kind of weird, but sure, you know? And kind of like was a red flag to her when she went missing that maybe Academy of Sports store had something to do with this, which it did. That's where she planted her getaway car.
Mm-hmm.
So responding officers searched the car and they saw that there was handcuff keys in the back seat along with Casey's jail issued slides. Otherwise, the car was empty with no signs of a struggle. Casey was too big to fit through the window. So they kind of decided or made them wonder if Vicky might have been involved in this escape plot. Meanwhile, the marshals were also working their processes and contacting immigration and customs enforcement to put travel alerts out on both Casey and Vicky until they could find more information. When they arrived at the jail, they watched surveillance video and they see Vicky talking. They see Vicky taking Casey out of the jail and they notice, you know, the little waddle. They also notice that Casey was walking with his right foot turned out. Like he has kind of a weird kind of walk also. So two real identifying things to these two. They backed up the video and they saw that when Vicky arrived at the jail in her patrol car, she parked it by the Sally Port, where they like transfer the prisoners. And they also noticed that she was wearing her gun when she entered the jail, which is not a normal thing. I guess it goes against all professional law enforcement protocols. They noticed when she was that she was also wearing a big jacket, although it was very warm that day. Then they watched as Casey got Vicky out of his cell, walked him to the booking room and let him out of jail. That's where they saw something that everyone knew was wrong. Law enforcement never walks in front of their prisoners. They always walk behind them. And Vicky just kind of let Casey follow her out of the door, very kind of nonchalantly. So while they started to search, the local guys went to Vicky's house to search any clues. And when they arrived, there was nothing there. No furniture, no nothing. But that's because Vicky had just auctioned off her house, remember? So while they're looking in the windows going like, what the heck is going on? Vicky's mom rolls up and she's like, what's going on? That was my daughter's house, but it's no longer. She lives with us. So they were like, oh, well, that's interesting. Can we come check out her room? And the mom was like, yeah, sure. You know, she's supposed to be at work. Well, when they got there, they see Vicky's purse, which was surprising to even her mother, because what woman leaves without her purse? Inside was her wallet, driver's license, credit cards. They also found like a check register, debit card deposits, withdrawals. She had a very detailed list of like her bank account, which she took out like $90,000, but not right, like kind of here and there.
$90,000.
Doesn't seem like enough to go on the run for ever. But maybe, I think you could live on that for 2 years. Maybe even more, maybe 3 years.
Yeah, it depends how you'd be living. Yeah.
Well, they were planning on living in the sticks, like in a trailer in the middle of the woods, very, very, very nonchalantly. No going to the grocery store very often, probably just banging it up in the trailer.
Okay.
Oh, the other thing that she had in there was like a will and a life insurance policy. And then her dad showed them a copy of her storage unit paperwork, which had a real weird phone number on it, like not Vicky's phone number.
So when they traced that back, they saw that it was from a burner phone, which also was a phone number that called the jail about 1,000 times between November 2020 and February 2022. Mm-hmm. Vicky had also sold her car. So the things that she was doing made it seem like Vicky had plans to leave and not come back.
Right.
A huge concern that the investigators had was the fact that Vicky was an experienced law enforcement officer or a corrections officer, and she had insider information on these procedures and what they were going to do. So it was pretty imminent that they responded very, very quickly. One thing they looked at was Vicky's spending habits over the past year, and they noticed that Vicky was buying things here or there. Like, she would go to Walmart to pick up her groceries, but she would also get a sleeping bag. And then she would get a, you know, camping stove. See, I'm telling you, they were going to like live it out in the sticks.
I don't think that's a horrible plan.
It's actually a pretty good plan.
Yeah.
She also bought guns, including an assault rifle. They looked at the prison transfer paperwork and realized that Casey did not have an appointment that day. Go figure. And with all this, they still were not totally convinced that Vicky was a willing participant. They had concerns that Casey was a manipulator, like I told you, and that Vicky's usefulness to him would quickly wear off and that he would just get rid of her.
Well, yeah, I think that is a legitimate concern. Yeah, I do think it sounds like they had a good plan, though. I think the hardest thing for them to get over is him being 6'9". I mean, you got to keep a man like that hidden all the time.
Yeah, I know. Right? That's why that's what they said. The marshals were like, it's really hard to hide him. Right. Yeah. So they were saying like they could have used a wheelchair if they wanted. Oh, yeah. Like there's things that they could have done to
make
him
have to
more...
do stuff like that if she wants to take him out to Applebee's or something. All she has to do really is like dye her hair.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she did dye her hair.
I'm getting a lot of information I didn't get from that Love on the Run thing.
I know,
from
there's
you.
A lot of stuff. Yeah, she did dye her hair, and so did he. And you didn't know this either, but at the end, he walks out with like they show some sort of thing, and I didn't see this on that, but he walks out with a crutches.
Oh.
Which I guess is supposed to make him look a little shorter, but I don't think it's too much shorter. So they watch all this footage. They see that her character is being pretty abnormal that day. She has like an outburst. She doesn't eat anything. Even when they give her the cake, she's like happy, but she's, you know, she doesn't eat it. They start listening to all their phone calls from this number, you know?
Yeah, I've been real confused about this.
Okay.
How come nobody listened to those phone calls before all this?
Because
I thought
she
that
was
like
one,
a random thing.
She's the one listening to the phone calls. That's why.
Oh, it was solely Vicky's job to listen to the phone calls?
Well, even if not, so she used a burner phone with a different name. She used her maiden. So White was her married name. She used her maiden name when she bought the burner phone and a different first name. And so he never called her by her name. So no one would ever know that it was actually her, even if they did listen.
Well,
unless they were able to hear her voice
on a phone call, I'd be like,
yes. Yes.
Talking dirty to a prisoner.
This is true.
Let's go rescue her.
And they did play those calls for her friends in the office to make sure that it was her. And, you know, that's how they said, yes, this for sure was her. They had a lot of phone sex.
Yeah, listen, if you haven't watched Love on the Run, it's good just for that part. I mean, she's like, oh, honey, I want to fuck you so bad.
Oh, my God. Oh, gosh. Okay, so the coworkers told investigators that Vicky had given away a lot of her personal belongings, even her tanning bed, to a mm-hmm. friend.
I'm impressed she had a tanning bed.
I know.
Her own?
Her own.
In Alabama, I guess a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do.
Yeah, she looked like that. She had that blonde hair. She wanted that dark skin.
You know, I don't know how in-depth your research went, but one of the other questions I had about this Love on the Run was they mentioned they had casual Friday.
At work?
Yeah, it was in there. They just dipped on by. That's the kind of thing that like is a squirrel to me. Okay. They passed through that right away. But they said, you know, she wore button down shirts.
Oh,
and she
right,
had a little
right,
casual
right.
get up.
I
would
that.
Like to know if that is a regular thing at the. I don't think that's appropriate to have any kind of casualness in the corrections
system,
facilities.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think that that's probably not a good look.
Listen, leads to people banging. I bet she was looking too good in her casual outfit.
I bet
probably
she
the day
so.
He told her her butt looked good.
And probably when she just got a tan.
Yep.
So these investigators, they, you know, they did a pretty good job. They figured out pretty quickly the car that the getaway car, you know, mm-hmm. and that getaway car was that bright orange SUV.
That, yeah, that blows my mind. That's so... That's a rookie mistake, Vicky.
It was such
don't
a
get an orange
mistake.
Car.
I think Alert. That Casey, I think Casey knew it right away because she ditched that car before they even put out the bolo. Mm. You know, I told you that investigators found the car, or they knew what car she was driving, that bright orange thing. At the same time, they were thinking, like, where the heck would these guys be going? Well, what you probably didn't know is that Casey had two children.
I didn't know that.
One grandchild. And so they were thinking maybe they live in either Indiana or Tennessee, not too far. They thought maybe that's where they would be headed, that maybe Casey wanted to go see his kid. Casey also had some gang affiliation. So they were wondering if maybe he was going somewhere, I guess, where the gangs were affiliated. He had tattoos that were affiliated to two different gangs, one called Southern Brotherhood. And
these like motorcycle gangs?
Other one called Aryan Brotherhood.
Gross.
I don't really want to look into those. It doesn't seem like my kind of thing at all. So according to the marshals, however, those two gangs, although sound similar, don't really mix with each other. So I don't know. But after a full week, these two were still on the run. 7 full days. They had a lot of clues, but there were no sightings, or there were sightings. People kept saying they think they saw them, but nothing that really was full-fledged, like this is them, right? The story was ran all over national news and social media, but...
Yeah, we were watching it.
Remember? We were like, where are they?
What tree are they under banging? They are...
They were not under a tree, but they were probably banging. On the 7th day, late in the evening, they got a call from the tow truck company in Spring Hill, Tennessee. The owner was like, holy moly, I have an orange Ford Edge in the lot that's been there for days. I think that might be the car that you're looking for. So the marshals head over there and check out the car. And sure enough, it's the car. It has some spray paint on the sides that is green. I guess, you know, Casey tried to figure out how to... camouflage. Yeah.
I wouldn't pick green, Casey.
I know. Inside the car, they found
black
spray cans, a shopping bag from Dollar General, and they went to Dollar General. They looked at surveillance. They see Casey dressed in camo, and then they ditched that car less than 3 hours after they escaped. They then found a blue F-150 type of truck that had tinted windows and a loud exhaust. And they got that from a tipster. The tipster was a man who sold the vehicle to Casey and Vicky. He said they paid $6,000 and didn't even test drive it. They just drove it off the lot. They did, however, make him put some tags on it from another vehicle.
See, Vicky, another rookie mistake. You leave him somewhere. You can't be bringing the 6'9 guy with you because people aren't going to really be clear if that was her or not.
Well, especially because she dyed her hair.
Yeah, but you bring him with you, 100% Bam. They remember. You remember every 6'9" person you come into contact with.
Yeah, probably that you've ever seen. So on day 10, they found the truck way north of the search area in Evansville, Indiana. It had been abandoned at a car wash. I think you probably saw that guy. They suspected that Casey hoped that it would be stolen because he just like left it in the car wash bay with the keys in it and like the windows rolled down. But no, the car wash employee found it, called in the truck to 911, but also called the media right away for his 15 minutes of fame, which kind of ticked off the marshals, I'll tell you that.
It kind of ticks me off too. You're not doing that for the greater good, for the betterment of society, to protect the people. You called the popo and you shut your mouth.
That's right. But no, he wanted some action at his car wash.
Yeah, well, you suck.
So they watched the surveillance video from the car wash. They saw Casey pull in the truck. They see him walking out of the truck and getting into a silver Cadillac that Vicky was driving. And would you believe it or not, they found that damn Cadillac in a motel in Evansville. They didn't even go that far. It's like, what the heck?
They were busy banging.
Come on.
I have a lot of questions about them banging. So, you know, in one of those jail phone calls,
yeah,
I don't know if you remember this part, but he's telling her to buy him a penis pump.
Okay. So she did buy, she did go
Does
to a sex party.
He couldn't do it. He needed that. Did maybe drugs affect his penile abilities?
Oh yeah. Cause his mom said, oh my gosh, his mom loves him. Like,
or would he not make a good David? It was just, he's a freaking nature.
Nope, the David. No, I don't know. But she did go to a party that her coworker threw and did buy some things.
We've all been to those parties. Don't act like you haven't been. Okay.
And she bought some stuff. So maybe she bought a penis enlarger pump. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know what she bought. I tried to find out, but I cannot find out. I think she did buy some sexy get-ups too. So
work it, Vic.
Anyways, they ended up figuring out what hotel room they were in because Pizza Man delivered pizza to somebody that wasn't them. So they were like, okay, we're getting ready. They got the SWAT team. They got it all together. They were like on the way to get it all together. And then you wouldn't guess it that Vicky just walks out in her little waddle to the car. And they're like, holy shit, we're not ready for this, but we better be ready for this. And then Casey strolls up with like his limp and his crutches, I guess, to try to disguise his 6'9" stature.
What happened to camping, Vicky?
Yeah, well, seriously. You're asking me what happened to camping? Well, I cancel on you like, every time you try to get me to go camping.
You know, it is very difficult story for me because we do these cases and I think, okay, well, this is your mistake. Now, Vicky
she made
seemed
a
to
lot
have
of
had a lot of, she had a good plan. It's like, I think you could disappear if you had followed through with everything she was thinking.
She needed to do that, right? So marshals make a split decision to get on the chase and they chase after Vicky and Casey. Casey was driving and somehow Vicky manages to dial 911. They actually think that the audio that you hear from the 911 call, which I'll play here, is accidental. Like she didn't really mean to, you know, when like you hit that emergency on your phone or whatever.
Yeah, I wondered about that because I'm like, what was there like some recording black box in her car? It was never clear to me how you heard her audio.
Because she accidentally called it. She accidentally called 911. The chase was really short. Casey tried to outrun them. But when he was going through like a field, he hit a ditch that he didn't see. And then he stopped and then the marshals kind of pushed him into the ditch. And at that point, the car kind of flipped onto the passenger side. They were yelling, you know, it's like chaos at that point. And so they're yelling, like, get out of the car with your hands up. And that's when Casey's hands came out and they got him out of the car. And they could tell that he dyed his hair and he also had a small like wound on his, like near his ear. At the end of that 911 call, you can hear a pop. It's not very distinct, but that is the sound of a gunshot that went off and hit Vicky in the head. Vicky was in the passenger seat bleeding, but she was still breathing. When they got her out, they rushed her to the hospital where doctors and nurses tried to save her life. But unfortunately, she succumbed to her injuries. The gunshot that killed Vicky was pretty abnormal. The assumption was that it was self-inflicted, but it was kind of behind her head and the trajectory was like wrong. So based on what all of her friends and family and coworkers think that it actually just went off by accident.
It kind of sounds that way.
Yeah. From the audio call, it sounds like it went off by accident too. You know, it was too fast to be like, unless she was like holding it up to her head, like, this is it, which could be. Casey was then extradited back to Alabama and put in a maximum security prison. And when officials asked him what he thought was going to happen after he escaped, and he said, well, we thought we'd never get caught. We thought we'd end up, we'd have enough cash money, go up and find us a place in a little rinky-dink trailer for $250, $300 a month, pay them up front for a year, pay our electrical bill for a year, and just stay hunkered down. Authorities also found a notebook in the car that were letters from Casey. One was to his son. One was to, I think, his mom. And one was just saying about their like escape. And it said that all of them said he was sorry for killing Vicky.
which didn't happen, right? But it does paint a clearer picture, because in his letters, basically he says that when there was going to be a shootout, like eventually they would get caught. And if they were to get caught, Vicky asked to be killed, and then he was going to take his own life. So like a murder suicide type of thing. I can see why Vicky was not going to face the wrath of her coworkers or going to jail or the shame of all of her mistakes that she made. So although their plan did not end as they thought, or as he had written it to be, it kind of gives you a more of an understanding of where they were going, right?
Yeah.
Vicky's remains were brought back to Alabama, and she was cremated. About half of her coworkers attended her graveside service, and the other half didn't want anything to do with it. I can imagine there were a lot of mixed feelings. She was loved by so many, but she betrayed them, and she hurt some of her closest friends. And they somehow felt like they didn't really know her.
I can see that.
Casey was indicted for murder, for causing Vicky's death, but he worked out a plea with prosecution and pleaded guilty to the escape. In exchange, the DA took the murder charge off, and he was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole. But I think his parole date is like, he would be 98. I think the guy's going to be spending life in prison. I told you that this was a bit of a love story, and you can make your own assumptions. Some believe Casey was truly in love with Vicky. His mom thinks so. His mother actually had a lot of a number of interactions with Vicky. She didn't know Vicky as Vicky. She went by an alias, but she did go to Casey's mom's house and actually went to go see Casey's grandchild at some point. She also sent Casey's kids and grandchild gifts during the holidays. Casey's mom believes that it was love, but authorities found that just in those 11 days, Casey was calling the sex lines, the 900 numbers, if
really?
You will. Yeah. Can you believe that? While he was with Vicky.
So he gets off on the like unavailable thing.
Something.
Yeah.
So that sends major red flags, right? If he really was into her. Also, apparently he still uses the phone a lot and spends a lot of time chatting with women on lonely prisoner phone lines, and has a new girlfriend, actually had a new girlfriend before Vicky was buried.
Stop it.
Yeah. So I don't know if the whole wife being married, I love you, you know, was really Casey's thing. As for Vicky, I think she really did love him.
I would agree.
She just had the blinders on, you know,
I don't know if she really did love him. I think she loved who she thought he was.
Yes. She definitely decided that he wasn't that guy that was killing everybody and going on this like crazy rampage.
And I believe she did that because that was just her way of coping with the, you know, shit sandwich life had dealt her.
Right. Yeah. That's really sad. True. So in 2023, just 2 weeks before Casey's trial for murder on the Connie Ridgeway case was to begin, he recanted his confession. And so they decided not to pursue the trial, which I think is probably the right decision, because I don't think that he is the one that killed her. I think he did it. Maybe he knows something, but they're looking into other people that may have been involved in that killing. Also, more recently, he has claimed that he killed a lady and a baby while on the run with Vicky. Again, I think he's just trying to get out of prison and back into a local county jail.
And yeah, because so, you can just say like, I'll talk to you, but I need a Sun Drop and a Snickers bar.
Something like that. And so nobody's buying what he's selling. They think he's just full of baloney, and so do his attorneys. So he is still incarcerated. He looks like shit, like real bad. His latest mugshot he looks tired and ragged and...
Okay, well, I would just want to say awful. To Casey's new love, if you're out there and you happen to listen to this, there's got to be somebody better, girl.
Somebody, please. I know. And he's going to be there forever. So there's so many others. I bet you there's even more better prisoners that are not so crazy.
Yeah.
But anyways, thank you guys for listening. I have to run and pick up Carpool. It's my day for Carpool. And if you want more of us, chat with us on Thursdays. You can find us at patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime or on the Clink Clink Club if you listen on Apple, or at housewivesoftruecrime.com. bonus on Spotify. We would love to have you join our Patreon. It's one good way to support us. Also, another way to support us is to go to Five Crimes. That's our beauty line. You will love it. I promise. We have great, you know, go on our Facebook group. Everybody will tell you how good this stuff is, and we're not paying them to do so. So we do have a Facebook private group. You can chat with us. It's called Housewives, a True Crime Group on Facebook. We also are on Instagram and Facebook on our regular, like Housewives, a True Crime podcast, but we're not very good at the social media, but we are good on our private group. So find us there. And hopefully you all have a really fabulous weekend.
Okay.
See you Thursday or weekend. Week. It's Monday.
Week.
Week. And then we'll see you Thursday if you join. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.